Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil, and we have a special guest with us today. His name is Vince Miracle. He's the host of the Kings Court podcast for SackKingsNation.com. Thanks for joining us, Vince.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
So yeah, we thought it was important to get you on here considering Rudy Gay's a name that's been linked to the Heat in the past. There was some mention at the start, midway through last season, about him possibly looking at the Heat, thinking, I guess, highly of the team when he was discussed in potential trade scenarios. And of course, the news recently that he's looking to opt out of his contract at the end of this season. So clearly that's a name that's been floated around and linked to Miami several times. So we just wanted to get on board and talk about Rudy a little bit and how you see his potential fit with Miami, what you liked and didn't like from him in Sacramento.
I
was going to ask you guys this. I mean, before I give my take on it, what would your guys' thoughts be if Rudy Gay came there? Just because looking at the outline of this team, the Miami Heat team, how do you think Rudy Gay would fit in your opinion?
So Rudy's been linked to the Heat for, I don't know, David, a couple of years now, it seems.
Either
trade talks or a possible candidate if he were to opt out. Now Mark Spears is, of course, reporting that he is going to opt out and leave $14.2 million on the table to basically escape Sacramento. That's kind of why we have you on. I mean, we've watched Rudy Gay enough, I think, but you've watched him quite a bit more than David and I, we presume. And so we're trying to have you on to either talk us into the idea or talk us out of the idea. My initial thought for Rudy Gay is I think he gets a bad rap. I watched quite a bit of him, I think, this last year before he got hurt. And I liked how he played this last year for Sacramento. He's a guy that could create his own shot, and that is point blank a valuable tool. Now, whether he makes that shot or not is a completely different story, but he can at least get the shot off. And that's a lot harder than people give him credit for. He's productive. I mean, you look at his stats, he's productive. Is he a volume shooter? Sure, a little bit. But overall, you know, if that's what you need, he's not a bad guy to have at that position.
Well, the reason why I asked that question is because you're right. There's different takes on Rudy Gay. You have the Rudy Gay fans that say kind of like, oh, he's just a poor man's Carmelo Anthony. He just has to have the right system. He just gets a lot of a bad rap. And then you have the other side of it where it's like he's what Jeff Green could have been. That's the other side of it. And when you're looking at him, I've seen him for 3 years now here in Sacramento. He's been fine. And honestly, I think what you can expect is someone that's going to come in and do his job on a night in, night out basis. And he's one of the coolest guys to be around. I've got to talk to him a couple of times. Super chill guy. He loves it out here in Sacramento. He's always there when you need him to be. Super professional, consummate professional. The problem with Rudy Gay is I don't know if he has the take over a game and help someone win mentality. He's going to have it when he's on fire, but he doesn't have it when he needs to have it. And that's going to be a problem, I think, with this Miami Heat team, just because I could be wrong, but when I'm looking at this team, you have Goran Dragic, who I think is the number one option on this team next to Hassan Whiteside. And I don't know what's going to happen with Chris Bosh. You guys can inform me more on that. I haven't kept track on him since I saw him on TNT.
Yeah.
But I don't know what his role would be, because as of right now, coming back from this injury and then also seeing the fact that his ball handling has started to decline over the last 3 years, his passing is starting to decline over the last 3 years, although the assist numbers won't say that except for the year that Rondo was there, and we can talk about that season. That was a crapshoot. But in all honesty, seeing him go to Miami with that team, and if you're asking me, like, would he be a good fit there, I don't know. And I was looking over the team today when we were prepping for this show, and I'm looking at guys like Josh Richardson who can play the three, James Johnson that can play the four, and then the fact that this Heat team can move up and down quite fast, especially when once Justice Winslow comes back. And I'm a huge fan of Justice Winslow. And if I guess if they're looking for someone that can come in and be that Justice Winslow reliever, which Rudy Gay could be, and I think Justice Winslow could be a better Rudy Gay, which could be I don't know if it would be a superstar or anything like that, but it would be a star player. Maybe that's why you'd bring him in. I personally, after looking at this roster, just don't see him making a good fit with the Miami Heat.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly, I think, a take that we've espoused in the past when we first started looking at potential trade scenarios earlier last season and at other times. But, you know, this roster, the Heat roster in particular, there are a lot of questions. You brought up James Johnson, who's a free agent, and I think somebody that obviously Miami would love to bring back. Obviously, Dion Waiters, he signed a 2-year deal last season. He can opt out. Has not informed the team, I think, at this point whether or not he plans on opting out. So those are the two biggest gaps to fill. But potentially, if you sign Waiters and for whatever reason can't re-sign James Johnson, you might look at bringing in a guy like Rudy Gay, you know, somebody, again, who can, you know, shoot, you know, somewhat well and can create his own shot, as Wes mentioned. But you're absolutely right as far as the overall composition of the team and the style of play, obviously, with Dragic. And that was part of the reason why he didn't blend as well with Dwayne Wade when Wade was here with Miami, was because Dragic does like to push the tempo. And I think that would probably take a severe step back if you have Rudy Gay in the lineup. As far as Chris Bosh is concerned, just so you know, the latest reports are that he's probably agreed to a buyout with a team or have his contract waived outright. And things have taken a sour turn, obviously, throughout most of last season. There seems to be some mending of fences there. So as far as we know, it looks like he'll probably be waived. Whether or not he'll even try and play anymore in the NBA, that's still a question mark, but it clearly won't be with Miami.
That's super unfortunate. Chris Bosh was one of my favorite players to, one, look at his memes, and two, just see him play. Yeah. Like the guy can stretch the floor. He never got the respect he deserved defensively. He had nice feet defensively. He also was good at putting his arms straight up in the air, going up for blocks, and he was a great team player. I honestly thought he was a great leader, whether people want to believe that or not. I thought he would be a great leader for this Miami Heat team now, especially with Hassan Whiteside there. I love Dragic on the team and the way they were playing that pace game. I think Bosh would have fit in like fantastic, but again,
yeah,
you know, just unfortunate.
But you don't think that Rudy Gay can fit into a fast-paced team, it sounds like?
Well, see, here's the thing about Rudy Gay. Everyone thinks that he can handle the basketball and that he can create his own shots. And that's the thing I'm trying to say, is that that has declined. And you've seen that before the injury. And I think a game that you can look to the most when that's happening is against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the reason why I bring that game up is you would think, oh, maybe because Andre Roberson was guarding him and that's why he wasn't being able to get up shots. Anthony Morrow was guarding him, and he wasn't able to get up shots. And that kind of – see, you guys are laughing. Like, really, Anthony Morrow? It's because Rudy Gay is – like, for when we had a rule on the show, like when we were talking about Rudy Gay, Rudy Gay was only allowed to take three dribbles, and he had to pass. 3 to 5 dribbles, and he had to pass, which is more than what most people get, right? Like, I think like, Danny Green's only allowed 2, so, right. So maybe he gets more than that. But
Luke if Babbitt that's the wasn't player allowed that you have –
Luke Babbitt. Luke Babbitt's not allowed any. But I love the Luke Babbitt alerts. When he catches fire from three, that's always fun to get the Luke Babbitt alerts on my phone. But again, Rudy Gay is what you're looking from Rudy Gay. I have question marks if he can even do it anymore. His favorite move is the isolation play down in the low post,
mm-hmm.
where he can do his little spin around fade jumper that he's really good at, or getting it right there on the low post, get a nice little screen so he can come up and get it right on the borderline of the free throw and just shoot it right in front of anybody, no matter if there's a hand in his face or not. He's capable of knocking that shot down consistently. But again, these are moves where he only needs 3 to 5 dribbles to get that move going. If he's looked to initiate the offense, kind of like Justice Winslow is capable of doing, where he's able to dribble a couple times, go through a pick, and then set up for a pass, which I think he's going to grow to be even better at when the years to come. I don't know if Rudy Gay is capable of doing that anymore. When he first came to Sacramento, the Kings had a problem at point guard, which which they kind of do again. And he had the ball in his hands a lot. You know, when Ray McCallum was the starter here, you saw Rudy Gay initiating the offense. He was the point guard. He was taking the ball up the court, running the plays and looking for passes. That's why I believe in his first year, he was right around 4 assists a game. Yeah. And it just started to decline from there. And the Rondo season, I think, is, again, a crapshoot. You can't really count that because Rondo had the ball all the time. But, again, the play style that you're looking for Rudy Gay is someone, one, you need to have a coach and a team that's willing to talk to him and let him know what his role is on the team, which is you're going to be our third option, maybe even our fourth option offensively. You're not going to get the ball every time we go down the floor. That's number one. Number two, you have to put a dribble limit on him because he just cannot handle the basketball the way he used to. And honestly, he's not the scorer that he used to be. He's a volume shooter, like you said, and even that those volume shots, although I think he can get right around 45%, he's coming off of an injury where it's going to affect his lift. He's coming off of an injury where it's going to affect his not just his athleticism, but his speed up and down the court. And also what really gets him going in the offense is how he can come off that first step and then jump right off step two. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that anymore.
So this is kind of then the next question that I'm thinking of as you're describing these things. Clearly he's a player in decline. Do you have any insight as to why he'd opt out? Wouldn't it seem to behoove him just to take the easy money for this year and then see if maybe you can continue to I guess, build, get healthier next year and then look to maybe cash in the following season rather than this one? Doesn't it seem like he's taking an early step, a little too early?
No, because the thing with Rudy Gay is his recovery right now has gone positive. Everything that I've heard from everybody that I've talked to about Rudy Gay's injury, all you ever hear is that it's been going in a positive step. He's ahead of schedule right now, just slightly, not a lot, but he's moving in the right direction. He feels confident that he can actually work out for teams and prove that he's healthy by the time, you know, summer league comes around, which would be an amazing step for him. The fact that I've already heard that he's on the court taking jumpers is a nice little thing to hear. Excuse me. But again, I don't think it was too early because he really wanted out of Sacramento, and I don't blame him. The franchise has kind of lied to him a little bit. They literally told him, hey, stay here. We're building something. Michael Malone's going to be our guy. You know, you're going to be that number two option. We're going to build something around you and DeMarcus Cousins. Then they got rid of Michael Malone right away. And they said, you know what? Okay. You know, you and Rajon Rondo are friends. We're going to have you guys become this big three. We're going to find a way to make it work to where you're still a key piece to our offense, which I mean, slightly he was, but again, he didn't get the ball in ways for him to succeed that season. And then they didn't look to re-sign Rondo and they traded DeMarcus Cousins. So he was really left out there with nothing. And you're looking, and if I'm Rudy Gay, I'm looking at this team. They're going complete rebuild. They're going for draft picks. They still don't know really what the identity of this team is, although it does look like the team is finally moving in a positive direction, which we haven't really been able to say for a little while now. But it doesn't look like that's the thing a 30-year-old who'll be turning 31 next season is really looking to want in the twilight of his career. This could be the final chance for him to go out into free agency and get a deal that's right around 3 years, $24 million. And I honestly think he's going to be in the $8 to $10 million range despite the injury and just because of who he is by name and what he can do for a team if he's able to accept a new role.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Well, you mentioned that you think you kind of compared him to what Jeff Green should have been. You know, best case scenario, Jeff Green would have been Rudy Gay. I think Rudy Gay is who Harrison Barnes is going to become in Dallas. I kind of see similar, like they can't really dribble a whole lot. Not as good shooters as people give him credit for, have a couple of go-to offensive moves. But I also think that Rudy Gay's best, I think the best way to use Rudy Gay at this point in Rudy Gay's career is how the Warriors used Harrison Barnes last season. You kind of, he could play some three. You move him up to the four in small ball situations. Put him in the corner. Let him shoot some threes. I was looking up Rudy Gay's corner three stats. They're not fantastic, but they're not bad either. This last year, he only played in 30 games, and he was 8 of 22 from the corner, which is about 38.6%. In the season before, he played 70 games, so a better sample size, and he shot 39% from the corner. Not amazing,
if you can get a 40% shooter from three, yeah, if you can get a 40% shooter from three, especially from a standstill shooter in the corner, that's exactly what you want. You want 40 to 42%.
So I'm looking at him as maybe an upgrade to Luke Babbitt or you know, somebody who could start at small forward for the Heat. And, you know, maybe the Heat re-sign James Johnson, you have him start at power forward, and then when you shift down to a smaller lineup, James Johnson can move over, play some small ball center for 8 minutes a game. Rudy Gay can move over and play some power forward in like a mock death lineup type situation. Or even with Whiteside still at center, Rudy Gay could space the floor as a stretch four. Justice Winslow could start at three. So I think he's versatile enough in that respect. And I could see him... I could see the Heat kind of taking Rudy Gay in, molding him and turning him into a positive defender, which he's never been known as. But he's never been the last couple of years, he hasn't been an atrocious defender. He could body guys up. He's got length. I think he can, if he goes to Miami, they have a tendency to improve guys' defense. Spoelstra has a tendency specifically to improve guys defensively by 20% in a given season. I think they could do that. What's your impression of the Heat culture that I'm sure you've heard about? Do you agree with me when I say that I think Rudy Gay, that would be a good fit for him, is at least in a culture sense?
Culture sense wise, I think it's perfect. I mean, I love the training staff there in Miami. You hear nothing but positive things that are going on there. Although I heard that they also keep a little bit of secrets, but again, that's just to help their players to stay on the court, which I see as a positive. but defensively, I think you're right. I think there's something about being on that Heat team that makes another player better. And honestly, this is just the myth that I believe in. And this could be something that I made up in my mind or something that I've read on Twitter and it just stayed in my subconscious. When you're in Miami, you want to stay there. And so you're going to play your heart out on both sides of the floor to be able to stay in a place that's just luxurious in a vacation spot, right? But you're right. Rudy Gay has never been a Ryan Anderson on defense. He's not that bad. He's not a defensive sieve. He's good defensively one-on-one. The problem that I have in that scenario, and I think it's going to be a problem that most teams are going to have to face because they're going to have that same mindset. Let's move Rudy Gay to the four. Let's have him play some small ball lineup. That's the way the league is moving to. He doesn't like it. He does not like playing power forward. He does not like banging down low. He's capable of doing it. And again, he'll do it if he has to. But it's not something that he'll enjoy doing, and it'll show on the floor. There's times where he'll disappear if you have him in that small ball lineup.
Interesting.
And he'll fade off and literally not do what you're expecting him to do, right? Especially with his go-to move being in that low post, doing that high fade, or coming off the low block off of a pick screen, and then just coming straight up for like a nice little mid-range jumper. He won't do it, and I don't know what it is. He won't rebound more intensely than he would if he was a three. He just somehow disappears. And I don't know if it's because he never felt he needed to because he's Rudy Gay. He's the second option on the Kings, and this isn't a winning team, so I'm just going to get mine. That's a possibility. I'm not going to lie. That is definitely a possibility. But he just doesn't look like that type of person to me where he has that mindset. It's just more of, I'm doing it because I need to do it, but I'm not going to overdo myself and potentially hurt myself playing that small ball lineup. So whatever team he goes to, I think it has to be a team that will really lock in with him and let him know, like, hey, we're bringing you here to, one, be the veteran, two, to be our third or fourth option. Again, I keep repeating the same exact things because I truly believe that those are the things he's going to need to be able to succeed in whatever situation he goes to next, because Rudy Gay knows where he is at right now in his career. Let's just put it like that. Rudy Gay knows exactly where he is in his career right now. So
do you think that's the case, though? I mean, you really think that he's self-aware enough? I mean, you see a lot of players as they're aging kind of deny whether or not time has finally crept a black hand on them. And you know, it seems like obviously this latest injury would put make a severe impact on his overall explosion and athleticism and stuff like that. So do you think he's at a point now, you know, you've talked to him a few times, you think he's at a point where he's ready to accept, yes, maybe I could go for the right situation just to get out of Sacramento. I'd be willing to be the fourth option on a team. I'd be willing maybe to play a little bit more power forward, et cetera. You see that as something in his, you know, personality, his makeup, where he might be that self-aware and willing to make a change?
I think he is willing to do it for the right situation. I think he's going to go to many. I think you're going to hear his name in multiple team workouts. I think you're going to hear his name attached to so many teams. A team that I think you're going to really want to keep your eye on for Rudy Gay is the Washington Wizards. Mm. I think that's a team that's going to be truly interested in him, especially with Otto Porter becoming a restricted free agent. I know that he's willing to play the position. He's willing to do anything for his team. Again, he's a consummate professional. He's the nicest guy in and outside of the locker room, especially in the community out here in Sacramento. Fans in Sacramento and the people of Sacramento love Rudy Gay and what he brings. It's just I think at this point, being 30 going on 31, coming off of this Achilles tear, it's going to be something where he knows this is my last chance. He's the last time he was on a winner that was making it to the playoffs and having a chance was the Memphis Grizzlies. And now his whole entire MO, no matter where he goes, whether it be Miami, Washington, there's going to be this cloud over his head of whatever team he leaves, once he gets there and then he leaves, that team gets better. And it's probably going to happen with Sacramento now that they're moving in the right direction. It might not be next season or the season after that, but they're going to get better without Rudy Gay there. And you could say the same thing about Memphis, and you can say the same thing about Toronto. And that's not a good cloud you want over your head, especially coming back from injury. But again, I think he knows where he's at. He's very smart about that stuff. And I know he wants to win. He wants to be on a winning team, and he's a great teammate. So again, I think it just comes down to having a team that's going to really buy into him. And he feels that he wants to feel the love if he's given it. He wants to know what his role is, and they have to be very firm with him on his role.
I love the story you're spinning right now, Vince. I really do. I love the idea of a guy looking for redemption, looking to just kind of prove himself and be well and find a situation where he's comfortable and happy. And I really hope that Rudy Gay finds that. And it seems like that's a priority for him because you're right. He's not going to make $14 million. This season. This isn't Wesley Matthews of two seasons ago or three seasons ago, whenever that was. He's not at that point. Wesley Matthews also tore his Achilles when he was in Portland, entered free agency, but he was 28 years old and got a pay raise. Rudy Gay, like you said, turning 31, Achilles injury, probably not getting a pay raise at this point. I agree with you. I think that $8 to $9-10 million range of season is probably where he's going to go, so he's going to be leaving some money on the table. I'm a fan of Rudy Gay, and I hope that certain things shake certain ways for the Heat where they're not able to get the guys that they want, or, you know, they don't get Gordon Hayward like they want or something like that, and they can get Rudy Gay at $8 million a year. I like that fit. I love just the idea of having him in Miami and trying to resurrect his career, so to speak. I'm interested to hear what David's thoughts David, after you've heard Vince talk about Rudy Gay, what do you think about Rudy Gay?
Yeah, I mean, I think he echoes some of the positive things that we've thought, but there's just so much negativity surrounding him that there's doubt about whether or not he could find success here just because, like Vince pointed out, you know, that every team he's been on has seemed to have gotten better without him there. So, and I know that's not necessarily his fault. Sometimes things just clicked into place. I mean, sometimes players just seem to take it to another level when he was gone. And so that's not necessarily Rudy's fault. And I agree. I've talked to him before. He is a good guy. He does seem like he's, you know, pretty aware of who he is as a player, et cetera. And I agree with you, Wes, that absolutely. Miami has been so successful in redeeming players, helping them find another level, and getting them to achieve the kind of success that they may not have done elsewhere. You know, one of the situations that unfortunately didn't work out here in Miami was Derek Williams, who, you know, obviously you know him from Sacramento, Vince. He just couldn't turn the page here, but it was another opportunity, another player who we thought might make that same leap here in Miami as others have done in the past. So if Rudy comes down here, I'm hoping that he'll do it just so that we could see a more successful version of the player that he's supposed to be.
Do you guys do hot takes on this show?
You can do a hot take.
Is it okay if I do a hot take real quick?
Hot take away.
Do it.
Yeah.
Derek Williams is garbage. I'm sorry. He is garbage. He is not a good basketball player. I'm sorry. He relies so much on his athleticism, and I'm worried that Aaron Gordon's going to fall into the same thing. But I'll say this. Aaron Gordon's work ethic is extremely better, much better than Derek Williams' work ethic. And I'm not trying to throw any shade at Derek Williams' way. He was really nice out here in Sacramento, but he is garbage. No offense.
Who's the best player on the Kings right now?
Best player on the Kings right now. I will probably go – I'll probably go Garrett Temple just because he can play both sides of the ball and play with 1-3. But then you're going to hear if there's Kings fans listening right now, you're going to hear them say Scalabissiere. And I think he's the new fan favorite. He came on my show right before he started clicking with the team, and we were talking to him and his trainer and things that he's been working on. Now everyone's excited to see what he can be after the way he ended the year and what he did against Phoenix. I think Buddy Hield's going to be a name that is drawing a lot of people's minds. I have my reservations on all of these players. As much as everyone is super excited about this young core and these young players, I always take everything I see on the last 20 games of a season, 25 games of a season, especially of a losing season with young players, take it all with a grain of salt, because I call it the Ben McLemore effect. After year one of Ben McLemore, year two of Ben McLemore, he finished the last 25 games looking like he was ready to be the man. He can be the shooter. He can be the potential Ray Allen, quote unquote, of what, you know, what his potential could have been coming out of the draft. No, he's not there. But he's a great guy too. He worked really, really hard. I think he's going to need a change of scenery this offseason.
Yeah, that's another player we've talked about before as a potentially filling the void if Deion does wind up leaving Miami. You know, he's a potential option to come in and slide in at the shooting guard. So
I think he would be great. I think he would be great in Miami. I really do.
He just
had a daughter, so he's more mature now, and you saw that. Through the years that he's been here, we've got to see him grow more into a player. Because I'm not going to lie to you, when he first came to Sacramento, his number one mindset, other than working, he's still a grinder. At some point, your grind has to start showing up on the floor, and it just hasn't done that yet. And that's been his biggest problem. And again, I don't know if I can really blame him going from Michael Malone and having Chris Gent there right away when he first came to the team, then having to go to Ty Corbin, then George Karl, and now excuse me. And now Dave Yeager. Sorry, I just had a soda and it just keeps coming back up. Nice. But I think with the change of scenery, the fact that he's now matured, because when he first came to Sacramento, other than working, it was about his brand. That's the one thing he always talked about, was his brand. Oh, and now you don't really hear that anymore. You never hear that anymore. I think it's because he's matured as a person and as an adult, seeing what has happened in his career. I think the one thing you'll see is he plays with more of his emotions on his shoulders. Because if he makes a mistake, you see it in his face, like he knew he shouldn't have done that. And that can be, you know, his confidence being low. But at the same time, I think it's also the thing where he's like, I want to start being better because I need to be better because now I have a family to provide for. And you've already brought up what Miami's, you know, history shows what they can do with other players. Defensively, I think he needs work. If you can bump him up 20%, I think that would be amazing for what he can be on the floor. I don't think that would make him a sieve anymore. I think that would make him more of a I don't know. I saw him play
at the three a little bit later in the season when Sacramento was playing a lot of two-guard lineups with Collison and Ty Lawson at the same time. They would move McLemore pretty often to the three. I liked what that did to him defensively. It kind of challenged him a little bit. I was impressed with what I saw. He had a few big games at the end of the season. I'm a big fan of McLemore. I actually had a chance to talk with him a couple of times too. And I'm with you, Vince. I think he's got a good character. He's humble. What you were talking about his first year about, you know, being all about his brand, I didn't talk to him that year. That's news to me, and I actually find that shocking given how he kind of acted this last year in the locker room. So I'm a fan of McLemore. I hope he finds a good home for him.
He was a young guy, though. I mean, you got people forget that these are like 18, 19-year-old kids coming into the league, and they're given a ton of money, and they think they've been told coming out, like, you're going to be a lottery pick, you're going to be a star of this team that's going to need this type of player. They're looking at you, and then you start realizing, okay, I want this. I want to be the next Kobe Bryant. They're calling me the next Ray Allen. I want to be that. he got movies. Ray Allen got movies. He got games. One of my favorite movies out there right now, still NBA movie or basketball movies.
Yeah.
But then you start playing and you start getting a life and you start growing up and you realize, and then also this might be a little bit bad, but I think growing up in an environment where you have DeMarcus Cousins as a leader matures you, because you saw what he was doing to other people and, you know, the level you need to be at if you want to be competitive. And he never really got there consistently. You saw it at times, though. That's the thing. Like, you saw it at times, and there's that scary work potential, but he has it. I'm not fully given up on my Ben McLemore stock. Like, I haven't left Ben McLemore Island like I've left Deion Waiters Island. I don't care how good he was for you guys last season. I'm not on Deion Waiters Island anymore. I've sold all my stock. My stock. You guys can have any of my leftovers.
We'll take it happily.
I'm not sold on I'm not sold on Deion Waiters, but I still have a little bit left in Ben McLemore on being a nice 2-3 type player that has defensive potential. So
even though you said you didn't like Deion Waiters and then you lied to us about drinking soda because it's clearly a beer that you're drinking, that's fine. We appreciate you coming on, Vince. Tell the listeners where they can find you.
You guys can follow me on all social media platforms of @VMCenter. Every Monday, this show is on Dash Radio. Just look up Dash Radio, download it on your phone, or if you guys have a brand new 2017 car, if it's in your car, hey, tune into the Almighty Baller Station. Listen to the King's Court Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then if you can't do that, look us up on iTunes, type in the King's Court, look for the logo. You'll see my beautiful cartoon face there. Leave us a review, subscribe, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, Vince. That's all we have for today, whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Thank you for listening. Get in touch with the show on Twitter @LockedOnHeat or by email, or you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And if you're not subscribed already, please do so. Get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us, and we'll catch you next time.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.